The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. The Torah tells us in Parashas B'Shalach, right at the beginning, the second pasuk of the parsha, "Vayaseh Elohim Esa'om Derech Hamidbar Yam Suf," as Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt, they were taken in a roundabout way through the desert and near the Red Sea. "V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim," and they went up chamushim from Eretz Mitzrayim. The question, what does it mean, chamushim? Rashi brings from the sages, the Chazal, two interpretations. This evening we're concerned with the second interpretation. Dabar acher, chamushim, echod mechamisho yotsu, v'arbo halokim, meisu b'shleishi sh'me'afelo. Chamushim means one-fifth. One-fifth of all of the Hebrews that were in Egypt went out. Four-fifths remained. And they died during the ninth makir, the ninth plague, the plague of Cheshech, of darkness. Now this is somewhat wondrous. It comes out that only a muter, a small fraction, went out, while the huge majority remained and died in Egypt. An example. Let's assume there were 10 million Jews that went out. 10 million Jews that were in Egypt. Only 2 million would have gone out, and 8 million would have remained and died. When I say the number 10 million, could have been many more. We know that 600,000 males went out from the age of 20 to 60. But there were their wives, so that would make it 1.2 million. There were those older than 60. And then there were enormous numbers of children, because they were Peru or Ruvi Yichutsu. They multiplied enormously. But whatever the number was that went out, four times that amount remained and died. And this is somewhat surprising. The Mechilta on this pasuk lets us in even for some more prizes. Chamushim olu echod mechamisho. Firstly, it brings what we just stated. One-fifth went out, four-fifths remained. Yesh omrim echod mechamishim. Some say it wasn't one out of every five, it was one out of every 50. In other words, not a fifth, 20% went out, but 2% went out. 98% remained. Yeshomrim echod mechomish meos. Some say even one out of 500 went out. Out of every 500, 499 remained and one went out. Reb Nehuria Eimer HaAvoda. Reb Nehuria says no. And there's a Gersi here from the Gro. According to the Vilna Gaon's text, Le Echod Mechameshes Alofim Olu. There was hardly even one out of every 5,000 that went out. Shenema Revova Ketzema Chasode Nesatich. The Torah tells us that they multiplied like grass of the field in Egypt. This is why Paro and the Egyptians became so concerned. And that the children of Israel were poru, they multiplied like yitzutsu in enormous abundance. Vayirbu, Vayatsmu. They grew and they grew and they grew. Shoisa Isha Yoledes Shisha Bekeres Echot. Women were giving birth to six at a time, sextuplets. Vato Omer Echot Mechomesh Meos Olu. And you say one out of 500 went out. Ha'avodale echod mechomish meos olu. Eloshomesu harbe bi Yisrael bi Mitzrayim. It was not even one out of 500, but closer to one out of 5,000. And the rest died. Emosai mesu, and when did they die? Bishloshi shemei afelo, during the 3 days of darkness. And then during the 3 days of darkness, and then the Mechilta carries on to explain that. In the Medrash Rabbah, in Parshas Bo, and Rashi brings part of the Medrash there also, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought darkness, the plague of darkness upon the people. Choshech lo mehevi alehen. Medrash asks, why did Hashem bring darkness upon them? Yisborach shemei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let the name of the Almighty be blessed. She'ein lefonov masvi ponim. He does not turn away from justice. He rewards those who do good, and he brings punishment to those who do evil. Choke levu beichen kloyes. He looks into the hearts of people. The fishoya poshim be Israel. There were many Hebrews in Egypt that were wicked. Shohoyu lehen patronin mina mitzrim. They held positions of power and royalty in the Egyptian hierarchy. V'hoyo lehen shom osher v'kovod. And they had great wealth and great honor. V'lo hayu rotzim lotzeis. And they did not want to leave Egypt. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, these people will not leave. But imovi alehem make befarhesya biyamusu. But if I destroy them, when everyone will know about it, yemru amitzriim, the Egyptians will say, kishem shovar alenu kach ovar alehem. Just like God is bringing punishment to us, he's also bringing punishment to the Hebrews. Nefichach hevi al amitzriim es achoshech gimel yomim. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought darkness on the Egyptians for 3 days. Kedei shiyu kevrin meisehem, in order that their fellow Jews could bury them. V'lo yurei neisei seinehem, and then their enemies, the Egyptians, will not see what has happened. V'yu mishapchin HaKadosh Baruch Hu alkach, and then the Hebrews, the royal ones, will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because at least he brought this rebuke when it was not able to be seen. So what do we see from all of this? We see that if there were 10 million Hebrews in Egypt, a maximum of 2 million went out. 8 million remained. But that's only one opinion. According to the other opinions, not even one tenth went out, or far less. There were many, many millions of Jews. There could have been 100 million Jews in Egypt, because it was an Am Rav. But maybe 1% went out, a muta, and the rest died. What we see from this, that the Golus Mitzrayim the exile in Egypt was not a Dovr Kal, it was not something of an easy trip. The Klal Yisrael, the Hebrews were there for 210 years in Egypt. Of these 210 years, 116 years was a Shibul Kosha V'Avodes Perech, was a forced enslavement, backbreaking work. Of these 116 years, 80 years was Merirus, Gzeres Koshes V'Achzorius, evil decrees, harsh decrees, where they were obligated to kill their children and so forth. And many, not only many, but a huge majority, became lost in this Golus. They became so lost in this Golus until they became Egyptians. They served the Egyptians. They rose to heights of royalty. They became nobility. They amassed enormous wealth and honor. And for certain, they served the Egyptian gods. Otherwise, they would have never have risen to such heights. And the Mefarshim, the commentators, state this. And there's no doubt that they closed their eyes to the tzoras of their brethren. They couldn't rise to heights of royalty and at the same time be enslaved in Avedis Perech and building cities and store cities and pyramids. And they didn't want to be counted amongst them at all. Ad kedei kach, so far, as they didn't want to go out. They said, you go. We'll remain here with the Egyptians. And even though Moshe came and he said, Pokod yifkod eschem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of our fathers and grandfathers have not forgotten us, and he's going to take us out, they said, we will remain here with Egypt. We want to be like the Goyim. And even further, because when Moshe executed all types of signs and wonders, and when did this take place? When was the Makas Cheshech, the plague of darkness? That was the ninth plague. They had already witnessed eight plagues that struck Egypt. And still, Lo Rotzu Lo Tzeis, they didn't want to go out. Had they done Shuvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have accepted them. They still didn't want to go out. This is how Egyptian they had become. And they denied, like Paro, Mi Hashem, who is this God that I should listen to him? And in the prophecy that Moshe brought, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to tell the people that when I take you out, Ta'avdun es Hashem ala hor azeh. When Hashem spoke to Moshe by the burning bush, he said, tell them that on the mountain you are standing now, the people will come and serve me. That was Har Sinai. They didn't want it. And this is what we say to the Rosh in Haggadah Shel Pesach. The Rosh comes along and he says, Moha Aveda Azeis Lachem. What is all of this avoda to you? And we say, Lachem to you and not to yourself. Harekof Abi Iker doesn't want to be counted amongst the Jews. Those were traitors to the Jews, because you could be rest assured that they helped the Egyptians oppress the other Hebrews. That's how they rose to such heights. There have been Jews like that before, all the time in the Tzoras of Klal Yisrael. And this is what the Rosh says. So what do we tell them? Yes. It's to us, not to you. Iloha Yosham, Lo hayon nigul. If you were there, you would still be there. You wouldn't have been redeemed. You would have been with those traitors. This is what we see from the Divrei Chazal. Hamushim olu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. One-fifth went out. Maximum one-fifth. It could have been 1%. And 99% remained. Midach Yisrael, from the other aspect, we see that those that went out, they were the Mufchorim Sheb Mufchorim. They were the cream of the cream. The solest Nikiyah. The finest of the finest flocker. That all of the Tzoras of Egypt and all of the oppression could not change them. They were the elite of the Hebrews. Not the elitists because of their official positions. They had no official positions. And not the elitists because of their great honor. They had no great honor. They were slaves. And not the elite because of their wealth. Their wealth was stolen from them. They were the elite because of their emunah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their faithfulness, their loyalty, their steadfastness to the Almighty, where no matter what came upon them, they would not turn their backs on their gods, on the God of their fathers or their fellow Jew. And this is what the prophet says. Rashi brings this in Parshas Bo. Pasuk Yud, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Lamedtes. V'tzeido la'osu lahem. They did not bring any provisions with them when they went out of Egypt to the desert. Magid Shivchon shel Yisrael. This is to tell us the enormous praise of Israel. Shele Omar, Shele Omru Heyach Neitzei Lemidbar B'leitzeido. They didn't say, how could we go out into a barren desert and we have no provisions? Eleheminu v'holchu. They were faithful. Moshe said, you go. The Almighty said, you go. They went. And this is what Yirmiyahu, the prophet, sings. Perek Beis, Posuk Beis v'gimel, Zachati lo chesed n'urayach avas kilusoyich. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I remember the great love of your youth, the love of a kala, lechtech acharai b'minbar, that you followed me into the desert, be'eretz lezarua, a land which is not planted. Kodosh Yisrael Hashem, you became sanctified and loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash tells us, in Medrash Shochatov, Tehillim, Kuf Tes Zayin, Medrash says, we have one pasuk that states, Vayotzi Eschem Mikur Barzel. Kodesh Baruch Hu took you out from the furnace which you smelt iron. Egypt was compared to a Kor Barzel, a fiery smelting fire. There's another pasuk that states, Kachaniso Hashem lo kachas goy mikerav goy. The Almighty made wonders where he took out one nation from within another nation. And then the Medrash tells us, these are the two psukim. So the Medrash tells us, Kishem shehazavi poshid yodai v'netel hazov min akur. Just like the goldsmith. He has to put his hands into the furnace and take the gold out of the furnace, because the gold is not gold, it's ore. Kachotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael miMitzrayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu had to put his hands into the furnace to take Israel out of Egypt. And what does it mean, goy miker of goy? He took one nation out from another. Ku'uba shuhu naisin b'seich me'eho shel behema. A goy miker of goy, kerev means from the inside. One nation he took out from the inside of another. Just like the fetus, which is in the womb of the mother animal, Bahareya, no senyor de vishemtai, and the shepherd, the herdsman, he puts his hands in to bring the fetus out. Kacha nisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu lakachas goy mikerev goy, so did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his hands into Egypt to bring Israel out. Now the moral in Gvuras Hashem Peregimel, since we learn many, many points from this. This are five. Firstly, we see how oppressing and forceful the Golus and the Shibud Mitzrayim was, the exile of Egypt was, until it oppressed Israel like the fire oppresses the rock. You put the ore in the fire starts to melt the rock and is pale. It oppresses it and it changes its form. So was Egypt. It was overpressing to Israel, but actually was changing their form. And if the Shibud, the enslavement, and the exile was so harsh, then the second point is the Hetzor. The Exodus was cautiously old, greatly difficult. And that's why it states, Yotzienu Hashem Elokei Elokecho Biyot Chazoko Vizreinu Tuya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take us out with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Kaviyochel, as if to say, we couldn't be taken out with a snap of the fingers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take us out with a Yad Chazoko Vizreinu Tuya, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. And therefore, ilulai haitzionu, like we say in the Haggadah, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have taken us out, we and our children's children would still be mishubodim laparo b'mitzrayim, we would still be enslaved to Paro in Egypt. A third point, when the fire starts to work on the gold, it starts to forge it and to purify it and to refine it. So was the Shibud. The Shibud, the enslavement on those that were loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it forged them. It purified them. It refined them, refinement after refinement. The next point, what does it mean, the example, goy, mikerev goy, one nation from one within another nation? Like an uber, like the fetus in the womb of the mother. The sages tell us that the fetus, when it's in the womb of the mother, is kiyerech imai. It's not an entity by itself. It's part of the mother. Eats what the mother eats, drinks what the mother drinks. It breathes what the mother breathes. So it's not an entity by itself. Its entity, its metzius is bottle leitzola aim. Its entity, its independent entity is not existent. But it's only merely part of the mother. That's how we were in Egypt. The oppression was so great that the entity of Israel was almost non-existent. but it became Botel Eitzel Mitzrayim. It became a non-entity and attached to Egypt. Now, but a phenomena takes place by the fetus. Even though it's Kiyerech Imoy, it's a non-entity. It grows every day. Every day. And the rega, the instant, it is full grown, it becomes an entity. It becomes independent. And no longer is it bottle aim, no longer is it non-existent to, and merely attached to the mother. And at that instant, it goes out. You can't stop it. This is the phenomena with the fetus. So was it with Israel. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Abraham that your children will be strangers, they will be gerim. And they will be enslaved and afflicted for 400 years. This is what took place. But then, when they are ready and they have reached the stage of now they are ready to become an entity by themselves, at that instant, I will take them out. Vigam, as Hagoy Zed Don Anochi, and I will judge and pay retribution to the nation that will do this to them. So Israel were there. They grew and they grew. And they became refined and perfected. And purification after purification. Like gold, the gold ore in the furnace. Until they reached total growth. And that was when there were 600,000 loyal Hebrews. And immediately, they became an entity, an independent entity. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out immediately. And that's what it states, Vayi be'etzem hayom azeh. On that very day, when they were ready to go out, Yotzeso kol tzeveis Hashem me'eretz Mitzrayim. HaKadosh, all of the hosts of God went out of Egypt, the 600,000. Now, there's a Medrash Rabbah in Shir HaShirim, Perek Dalet Os Chof Dalet. Which is somewhat strange. It's on the Posuk, Gan No'ul Achosi Kalo, Gal No'ul. This posuk, this posuk is in Perek Dalet of Shir HaShirim, posuk Yud Beis. Gan No'ul Achosi Kalo, Gal No'ul Ma'ain Chosum. Shelachayich Pardes Rimeinim in Prim Godim. My sister, the bride, she is a sealed garden, and he is a Mayan Chosum, a spring which is sealed. Shelachayich Pardes Rimeinim in Prim Godim. Shelachayich, Rashi explains, Beis HaShalchin. There are two types of lands, Beis HaShalchin and Beis HaBaal. Beis HaBaal is the best. That's a piece of land that gets rainwater all of the time. Then there's the Beis HaShalchin. This is not a good piece of land. It's in a place where it never rains. So you have to constantly irrigate it artificially. Shalachayich pardes rimonim. Even the shalachayich, even the beis hashalchim, the worst piece of land, has become pardes rimonim, has become an orchard of pomegranates in prima godim, with the most luscious fruit. The Medrash says in this pasuk, Rafuna b'shem bar kapora omar, b'shus dalet vorim nigolu Yisrael b'mitzroim. In the schus of four merits, of four actions, Yisrael were redeemed from Egypt. Now, we're speaking on those who were redeemed, not on the others that were not redeemed. Shaleishinu eshamom, they didn't change their names. Shaleishinu eshleshonam, they didn't change their language. Leomru loshen hora, they didn't say speak loshen hora. Veleinimtzu behen echod porut be'erva, from these that went out, 600,000 and their families, there was not one that could be guilty of promiscuity. Leishino eshmom, that they didn't change their names, Reuben v'Shimon Nachtin, Reuben v'Shimon Salkin. We see when they came down, it states Yaakov, Ubonav, Reuben, and Shimon. When they went out, they counted again Reuben and Shimon. Same names. That wasn't the same people. It was 3-4 generations later, but the same names. Belohoyu kairin leRuven Rufus. Reuben wasn't called Rufus. And Shimon wasn't called Lulini. And Yosef was called Yosef. He was not called Lustis. These are foreign names. And Binyamin. Binyamin was not called Alexandra. So we see they didn't change the names. Leishinu Lishonam. All of the time that they were in Egypt, they never changed the tongue. How do we know? Because it states, Vayoveh ha-palit vayaged la-Avram ha-Ivri. All the way back in the days of Abraham, he was called Avram ha-Ivri because he spoke a foreign tongue. From Evar Anor, he spoke the language of Hebrew. The Kanksiv, and when Moshe was confronted by Hashem, he was told to tell them, Elekei ha-Ivrim nikra aleinu, the God of the Hebrews have come to us. The Hebrews, that's what they were known as, an Ivri. And also, when the brothers came down and they found Yosef, they didn't believe it was Yosef. Yosef said, Ki pi amedaber aleichem, I speak the same language as you, Loshen HaKodesh, Hebrew. The other Egyptians couldn't speak that language. So we see that they did not change the language. V'le'omru Loshen Hora, they didn't say Loshen Hora. Where do we see that? That it states, Dabe no bi'oznei ha'om, v'ishalu ish me'eis re'ehu. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to the people, he told Moshe, tell the people that they should, before they go out, make sure to borrow whatever you can from the Egyptians. Because they stole everything from you. And not only did they steal everything from you, they're guilty of forced labor without paying you wages for 116 years. So borrow everything you can and take it with you. Now this was a secret. Atameitzi zehadover hayamufket etzlom shnaim osu chodesh. Because the Mevorshim say that even though this is written later, but this was told to Moshe to tell the people in the beginning. And the whole Yetzirah, the whole process of the Exodus took place over 12 months. So you see that this was known to them for 12 months. V'leinimtza behen echot shihil shinal chaveirei. And the Egyptians never found out about it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have lent him anything. Not one revealed the secret. And we do not find even one guilty of promiscuity. As it states, Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis. Later on, there was a man that went out and he got into a whole fight and he cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it states that he was the son of a Israelis, but he was fathered by an Egyptian. And even that was through an error. And the Torah tells us of that. Why does the Torah tell us this? Because this was the only such incident. Only such incident. The nations wouldn't believe him. They said, look, if they ruled over you and your husbands, they would rule over your wives also. Now, of all of those that went out, this was the only incident, and even this came about through an error. Omar Rab Abba, Sori Yodel Mitzrayim, Vigodr Atzma Mina Erev. Sarah went down to Egypt with Abraham. What happened? Pare took her. And Pare abducted her. But when he tried to lay a hand on her, Sarah pleaded so much with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down the Malach and struck Pare. Wasn't able to lay a hand on her. Now, we could ask the question, why did this happen to Sora? And in Egypt yet? So the Chazal tell us because she was paving the way for her daughters. Kol anoshim nigdru bishusah. All of the women of Egypt that went out, the noshim tzitkonyash, they learned from Sora. And they said, if Sora would not submit to the king of Egypt, we should submit to the others. Yosef yored l'mitzrayim v'god ha'atzma min ha'erbo. Yosef went down to Egypt and he was tested by the wife of Potiphar. His master's wife, his mistress, his gevirto. And he paved the way for all of the sons of the Hebrews. That would come later. They said if he would not submit even to his master's wife, so how much more so us? This is the Medrash. Now this Medrash is very difficult for many, many ways. Firstly, what's the connection between these four acts? They didn't change their names, they didn't change their tongue, they didn't speak Lashon Hara, and they were not guilty of any acts of promiscuity. Why these four? And it was through this chus, this merit, that they were nigalu, they were redeemed from Egypt. Secondly, of these four, if we analyze them, from one aspect, two of them are mina chamurais. They are from the most serious offenses in the Torah. Loshon hara keneged kulam. Chazal tell us there's no aveira in the entire Torah that is stringent, that is chomer as loshon hara. To speak slander. Secondly, arayis. Arayis, this is talking of Esus Ish. We're speaking here of adultery and incest. All right, good. But the other two are mina kalim shebekalim. They are from the lightest averus in the Torah, if they are averus. They didn't change their tongue and they didn't change their names. How do you put the four together? Thirdly, b'chol yemei ha'golia shel Yisrael, all throughout all of the exiles of Israel. For sure, Israel tried to be careful of Lashon Hara. They tried to be careful of arayis. But they were never concerned with the changing of names, of Hebrew names, and they were never concerned with the changing of the Hebrew language. To the contrary. Here in the Medrash it states, this one was known by his Hebrew name and not Alexander. There are Amoraim and Tanoim and the Shas that are known as Alexandra. There are Rishonim that are known as Alexandra. The Sforim, the Shulchan Aruch and the Sforim are full with uncountable halachos of how do you write the Shemais Haloazim. We have what is known as a Shem Kodesh, a person who has a Hebrew name, and we have what is known as a Shem Laaz, an alien name. And you can't imagine how much literature has been written on that by the Gdelei Peskim, by the leaders of every generation. When it comes to an official document and the name must be written perfect, just how do you spell those names? And specifically in the last generations, they're called Shemesh Shel Ashkenaz, German names. The majority of Jewish names were German names. For example, Aryeh was called Leib. Leib in German is a lion. Shlema was called Zalman. Zalman means Solomon. And that's where Shlomo, that came from Shlomo. Simcha Zisel. Tzvi Hersh. Or women's names, Matla, Masha, Bela, Yenta. There are literally millions of such names. The Maral himself, his name was Leib. Rab Leib, they referred to him. Yehuda Leib, but they referred to him as Rab Leib. His Rebbetzin's name was Pearl. So where all of a sudden, Shaleshinu Eshmaisim, this was the Shchus of Geula. What happened to that? There's a famous story once, I believe it was with Rab Lezer Silva. Rab Lezer Silva was a Talmud from the Ragachova and from Chaim Ezer, he was close to Chaim Biske, came to America from the early Gaonim that came to America. And someone complained to him that a certain person had a name, Peter. He said, what kind of goyish name is that? Rab Lezer opened up a Gemara and showed him one of the Balei Tosfos, said his name was Repoter, that was Peter. Same thing, Lishonam, language, Hebrew language. The Jews spoke Hebrew. In Babel, they didn't speak Hebrew. Where the Talmud Bavli was written, that was the crown, the height of Torah, of Torah wisdom. They didn't speak Hebrew. They didn't know Hebrew. The common language that was spoken was Aramaic. Now, the very educated people, of course, they knew Hebrew. But the populace didn't know. There are all kind of halachas of where they would be matargim the Kriyas HaTorah. That in those days, when they leaned the Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, there would be a maturgamam. That being parsha la parsha, they would translate it over into Aramaic so the populace would understand because they didn't understand Hebrew. This was in Bavel. Many tefillahs were written in Targum. Some were written for other reasons, but many tefillahs were written in Targum, not in Lashon HaKodesh, because the people didn't understand it. And in Europe, they spoke Hebrew. It's written on the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, he was very careful to speak Lashon HaKodesh on Shabbos. On Shabbos, only Lashon HaKodesh. During the week, they spoke German or Yiddish or whatever you want to call it. So what happened? Shaleshino es Lashonam. Now why? You could ask the question. But why weren't they careful with these dinim? Because there's no such halacha. In all of Shas and Shulchan Aruch, there's not even a remes. There's not even a subtle hint to such a halacha where a Jew is forbidden to change his sfas hamadubar, his language, from Hebrew to Aloshin Chol, or his name, unless it's a Shem Shel Aved Zora, unless it's a name of an idolatrous name. If the Goyim use such a name for idolatrous or religious purposes, yes, then it's a, then yes, but otherwise not. This is why they weren't concerned with it. So what's here? Another question. states here that they were careful not to speak Lashon Hara. What's the example that's brought? That when Moshe told them a secret, that you're to go, when you go out, borrow what you can from all the Egyptians, nobody revealed this secret. This is not exactly Lashon Hara. It is true, this is Gilui Sod. Gilui Sod is compromising someone else's confidences. In other words, to reveal something which is confidential. It is true that Lashon Hara is Gilui Sod. Because what you are doing, it is true that Lashon Hara is Gilui Sod. Because what you are doing when you say Lashon Hara, you're revealing a secret about a certain person. Except it's not only a secret, it's a ganai. It's something which is negative about him that he wants to keep confidential, and you're revealing it to others. So all Lashon Hara, to the contrary, Lashon Hara is where others don't know about it. So all Lashon Hara is Gilui Sod. But this example that is brought is example basically of Gilui Sod. Now the Maral says on this last point, he says what the Chazal really mean is not that they didn't speak Lashon Hara, that also, but that wasn't. It was Gilui Sod. They did not reveal secrets to the Goyim, to the Egyptians. Jewish secrets were not revealed. It was kept amongst Jews. And there are other Chazals that say that explicitly. Shelei Yigale Sod. Now, so what is the explanation in all of this? In order to understand this clearly, the Maral lays down in Perek Mem Gimel of Gvuras Hashem a number of principles. The first principle is that's of the others. Abraham was the cornerstone. We are the seed of Abraham. Yitzchak added more perfection. Yaakov brought a higher level of perfection. That's why the sages tell us that Avraham, how great he was, but he still gave birth to Yishmael, father of the Arab nations. And Yitzchak, how great he was, he still gave birth to Esav, father of the Roman Empire. But Yaakov, Mito Shlemo, Yaakov, all of the 12 sons, were perfect. Now, Yaakov and his 12 sons and their families constituted what was known as Beis Yaakov. These were the Shivim Nofesh, the 70 that went down to Egypt. It was Beis Yaakov, Yaakov Ish Ubeisai Bo'u. Yaakov and his household came to Egypt. So this was the foundation of Yisrael. But the next point is, they were not a nation yet. They were the household of Yaakov. But they were not the nation of Yisrael yet, the nation of Hashem, or the nation of Yisrael. That level would only come to them after 210 years in Egypt. After being forged in the fires of the Kor HaBarzel. After all of the oppression and all of the cruelty, they were going through a purifying stage, a growth stage, like the fetus in the womb of the mother. They were still in the Tishei Yarche Ledo, in the 9 months of growth. And they were growing and growing and growing. As they were growing, and they were becoming greater, B'madrega u'b'maylo, the pshelus, just as you take the ore and you smelt it under the forging fires, the waste, the imperfections fall away. This is what was happening to Israel and Egypt. The core was growing. The rest were falling away. This took place during the 210 years in Egypt, until finally when they reached the number of 600,000, we see consistently that wherever they were counted, it was 600,000. When they reached that number, then they had reached a new level. No longer were they merely the sons of Abraham, or the sons of Abraham and Yitzchak, or even Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, or even the base Yaakov, Ishu Beis Oibou, the household of Yaakov. They attained a new name. When they went out of Egypt and they crossed the sea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Amzu Koniso, Amzuga Auto. This is my nation. They attained nationhood. But not merely nationhood. Nationhood is nothing. You go all over the world. You got all nationhoods all over. Africa alone. Every second week is a new nation. They attained Amai, my nation, to become the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And from there they were able to go to Sinai and be the nation that would be Makabel, the Torah for the whole world. Forever. Because nobody else wanted the Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if nobody takes the Torah, then machzer ani, I return the creation to Teyah v'alayhu, to nothing and voidness. And they step forward. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you step forward, you have to be ready. You have to become my nation. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you are now goy kodosh, u'mamleches kahanim. You are a sanctified nation and a nation of kings. Where did that take place? It didn't take place by Abraham or by Yitzchak or even by Yaakov. It didn't take place when they came into Egypt. It took place when they went out. This is what transpired in Egypt. Now, while they were in Egypt, not having attained that identity yet, there was a great danger, because they could have totally become absorbed by the Egyptians. They were individuals. They were a household. They were oppressed by millions of Egyptians. And these Egyptians were the most powerful nation in the whole world. Because only a few generations before, Yosef had gathered up the wealth of the entire world. And he made Paro the wealthiest king. And it was a nation, the Egyptians, of sorcery, kishuv, of idolatry, of to'eva, of abominations. And here you had individuals. There was the danger of being totally absorbed, becoming oblivion, being sucked into. And this is what happened to the four-fifths. Exactly. They became Egyptians. And they became wealthy. And they became honorable. And they became royalty. And they didn't want to go out. Now, the faithful ones, which were to become the core and to become the nation that would go out, they had to retain their identity that was given to them by their fathers, by Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Otherwise, they would have been lost. The umbilical cord would have been severed, and they would have been lost like the others. With what could they attain their identity? With mitzvahs? They had no mitzvahs. Atom, that's what it states. Va'atem erum ve'eryo. You were naked from mitzvahs. This was before mitzvahs were given. Torah, they had no Torah. So with what could they retain their identity and not change from before in order to survive? And that's what the Chazal tell us. Bishus dalet dvorim, because of four merits. Shaleishinu eshamon, v'shaleishinu eshleshona. They did not take upon themselves Egyptian names, and they did not take upon themselves the Egyptian language. They retained the names that were given to them. Avraham kept his name. Yitzchak kept his name. Yaakov kept his name. Reuben and Shimon kept their names. They retained the names. They retained the language of Avraham, of Ivri, of Yosef, Piyamadaber. Kept that. And they weren't Megalesod. They did not reveal any Jewish secrets to the Goyim. And they were not Prutzim Ba'arayis. They were not guilty of promiscuity. Now why these four? Because these four would create an ichud, a chibor. These four would align themselves and make themselves part of the Egyptian nation. Common names, share the same language. That's Begolui. In other words, that's what's revealed. We go around sharing the same names and we go around sharing the same language. So we are like you and you are like us. That's what's revealed. What's even worse is what's concealed. Gilui Sod. Share the confidences with the Goyim. The Galus Sod. You reveal Jewish secrets to the others, to the aliens, to the enemy. And even more so, Prutzim Ba'arayis, promiscuity or intermarriage, there cannot be a greater ichud, a greater chibur, a greater connection with that. We become one. We become one nation. So these 600,000 fought with all of their lives to hang on to the identity that they received from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to redeem them. It wasn't a reward. It was because of this he was able to redeem them. Otherwise, there would have been nothing left to redeem. Like all of the others, they were Egyptians. They were no longer Hebrews. If we go into this a little deeper, the Maral says, in these four areas, he says a person is made up of a guf, that's a physical body, and of a nefesh. The nefesh is the life that's within him. When it comes to arayis, promiscuity or intermarriage, there, that's a physical connection with the other nation. That's mitzad de guf. When it comes to the revealing, to the revealing of the secrets, that comes from the soul, the concealed part of the person. That's the nefesh adam. That's a chibur, that's a connection with the nefesh ha'adam. And then he says that if you take a person after he's a whole individual, he really has two exclusive identities. One is, who are you in particular? And two is, what is your, that's an individual identity, and what is your national identity? For example, you come and you want a passport. And they ask you your name. What is your name? It's your name that distinguishes you from Beryl and Yankel and Laser. If you have no name, you have no identity, you have no distinction between you and anybody else. That's your personal identity. Then they'll ask you nationality. With what nation are you part of? Do you identify with? So everyone has two identities. A personal identity, personal individual identity, and then a national identity. And so does Israel. Shleshinu Eshmosam, they didn't change their personal identity. Reuben was not Rufus. And Veleshinu Eshlishonam, and they didn't change their national language. Every nation has an exclusive national language. Although we have about 11, but every nation has an exclusive national language. They didn't change their language. The Egyptians spoke Egyptian. They spoke Hebrew. So that's why these four in particular. And then the Maral goes even further. He says that when HaKadosh Baruch came to take them out, and the Chazal say it was as difficult as the goldsmith has to go into the furnace to take the gold out. It's not easy. If you ever went into a smelting plant, the heat is enormous. It was a Yod Chazok Ezrei Netuya. Why was it so difficult? Because he said there had to be four geulas, four redemptions. Because they were trapped and enslaved in four different ways. And that's where the Dalet Lishonis Shel Geula comes. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe about the, told him to go, tell Klal Yisrael what I'm going to do. Four times he expressed to Moshe that I'm going to take Yisrael out, and each time in a different expression. Why? I have to take them out in four installments, in four different ways. For example, he said, "Vayitzesi Eschem." Excuse me. He said, "Vehetzesi eschem mitachas sivleis bitzrayim. I will take you out from beneath the heavy yokes and burden of Egypt." This refers to a physical exodus, a physical hetzor, a freedom of the body. Because what carries the burden? What carries the yoke? That's the physical structure of the person. The animal, which is known as the animal of the burden, the pack animal, is the chamor, the donkey. And the reason for that is chamor gorem. He has the strongest bone structure to carry. So they were meshubed, they were enslaved because physically. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I will take them out. I will free them mitachas sibleis Mitzrayim, from the yokes of Egypt. Then he said, Votzesi eschem me'avedosom, I will free them from their avoda, their slavery, their servitude. Servitude, he says, how does one serve? you ever look at a servant, he's always running back and forth. He runs there, he runs here, he goes there, you send him here, you send him there. This is an Eved. An Eved is with the nefesh. The power of movement is not in the physical body. The power of movement is in the nefesh, in the life force that's in the body. The life force is removed from the body. The body, the physical body is daimon, is silent. For example, by Shabbos, it says, Sheishes yomim tavoid, vosisako malaktecho. 6 days you shall be oved. And Shabbos is known as the manucha to the nefesh, like it states by Enofesh, to the nefesh, to the life of the person. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu freed them from their nefesh. Then it states, V'go'alti yeschem b'Israel netuya, I shall redeem you. What does that mean? That's independence. Individual independence. They weren't in their own reshus. They were tachas reshus shel acher. They belonged to other people. They had to come and be given independence, freedom, individual freedom. By Avodim in the Torah, where it states the parsha that deals with slavery, it says Geula tiknu lachem. You shall give them Geula. Geula means freedom, freedom from someone else's rule over you. V'go'alti eschem, I shall free them from the Egyptian rule over them. That was individual freedom. And then the fourth expression is, V'lakachti eschem li le'am. I will take them to myself for a nation. This was the national freedom. That you will now become a nation and my nation. Now, from all of this, we explain what the Chazal mean. In the schus of the merit of these four acts, they were redeemed. Maral explains it with great clarity and depth. But from this we understand a few other points, which were mentioned. First of all, we started the shir by saying how is it possible that out of so many Hebrews that were in Egypt, 80% should remain and 20% should go out? And the Mechilta tells us that it's not, that's off the course. It's closer that 2% went out and 98% remained. How can it be? The answer is, you say, we're not... Well, let me just interject one further point here. We know, we have a cloud model, that we will not lose large fractions of the nation of Israel. Fact is, it's almost impossible to lose a Jew. This we'll come to in a minute. And here, 98% of the nation was lost, 2% went out. The answer is very simple. They weren't part of the nation. There was no nation. Nationhood came to Israel afterwards, not then. There was no cloud Israel. There was no Am Hashem. There were no Torah and mitzvahs. This was just merely the outgrowth of Yaakov Ubeisrei, the household of Yaakov. In the household of Yaakov, there was a core that were faithful, that were steadfast, that grew and grew and grew, and there were multitudes that fell to the side. The Am Hashem, the extension of Yaakov's household, the extension of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Israel came through that core, the 600,000. The rest were never part. no Jew was lost. Secondly, the Maral writes, he says, you have to realize that all of the Goliaths and all of the Shibudim that Yisrael went through when Hashem came to Avram at the Bris Ben Abesorim and he said that your children will be enslaved in Egypt for this many years, it states, Gam Rabbi Shar Goliaths. He also told Abraham, after that there will be other great exiles. There'll be a Babylonian exile. There'll be a Persian Median exile. There'll be a Greek exile. There'll be a Greek invasion of Eretz Israel. And there will be the great Roman exile. But we have to realize that Golos Mitzrayim, the exile of Egypt, was totally different. Why? All of the other exiles will take place after we became Amzu Kondisa, Amzu Be'alto. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have now a nation. I have now redeemed my nation. After he brought us to Sinai and gave us the Torah, and he said that now you are a Goy Kodosh, Mamleches Kahanim V'Goy Kodosh. You are a nation of royalty and you are a sanctified nation. Egypt took place before. Therefore, the danger of us becoming annihilated was a realistic danger in Egypt. The danger of Yisrael becoming annihilated after is never a realistic danger. And history proves this over and over. In every generation, the greatest empires of the world stood up to destroy us. Lo yizocher shame shmei shame Yisrael ba'olam. How many world tyrants said that I will succeed in eradicating the name of Israel from the world? What's happened? Those names of those tyrants have become eradicated. Israel? Israel's still here. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yisrael will always be here. Any nation that will stand up against them, they will disappear. But in Egypt, this was a realistic danger. Because we weren't a danger yet. We weren't a nation yet. We were a goy mikerev goy. We were becoming a nation within another nation. And we could have disappeared, like the hordes did. So he says, you must realize that all the other Goliaths didn't compare to Golos Mitzrayim, was a different thing altogether. He says, that's why we find that those that survived was because they didn't change their tongue and they didn't change their names. But once we became a nation and we went to Har Sinai to receive mitzvahs, we need our names to be Jews. We need our language to be Jews. We have Taryag mitzvahs to be Jews. We have Torah to be Jews. The Jew can never change. In essence, he can't change. And that's the halacha. What is our names keep us Jewish. Our language keeps us Jewish. And that's why there's not a hint in all of the Shas and Shulchan Aruch of such a halacha. We have to keep our mitzvahs of the Torah. Mitzvah says Loshon Hara. The mitzvah keeps us Jews. Says our eyes, yes. But what is it? The identity. That's what keeps us Jew. A Jew is a Jew because of 613 mitzvahs that is fulfilled with every possible limb and organ of his body. What is it? The name tag. That's why we don't find the Sihiris in the other Goliaths, in the other exiles. And with now we can understand another thing, because the Chazal say Yisrael, afal pi shechoto Yisrael hu. It's impossible to change a Jew. It says a Jew, even though he sins, he's still a Jew. Well, we didn't see that before. We saw that those who sinned and they've evaporated from the Jewish map. Do you know the halacha is that if a Jew becomes a meshumad, he goes off and becomes a Christian. He still has the halacha of a Jew. He becomes a kefir beiker. If he denies a kodesh baruch hu, he's look, he ain't like chelak leila mabo. He doesn't do tshuva, he's giving up his world to come. But he's still a Jew. That's the halacha. What's the ramifications? For example, if he comes to a Jewish girl and he makes a kiddushin with her, if a non-Jew would come to a Jewish girl and he would give her a ring and he would say that you are mekudeshes to me, you are married to me, and it would be done all perfectly proper, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's a non-Jew. It doesn't take effect. She's free to marry whoever she wants. But if a meshumid, if a Jew who has betrayed his nation comes and does such a thing, she's a married woman. His get is a get. His divorce is a divorce. Because Yisrael afal pi shechoto Yisrael. Once you're a Jew, you can't change it. Even a ger. We tell a ger, someone that wants to come and convert, we tell him, do you know what you're doing? What happens if you find it too difficult and you come tomorrow, the next day, and you say you want to go back? You can't go back. Once someone becomes a Jew today, after Har Sinai, you're a Jew forever, and he's held responsible. There's no way that he can change. That's the halacha. There is a discussion, but that's the halacha. There is no way. Because this has been emblazoned in us. So what's it got to do with the language he speaks? Or with the name? If his name is Shlema, if his name is Zalman. One of the tells of Rosh Yeshivas, his name would have been Shmuel Zalman, and everybody called him Rav Zalman. A Jew is a Jew far more because of that. So that's what the Maral says, that you have to understand what Golos Mitzrayim was. And compared to all of the other Goliaths, all of the other exiles in Chobonis. Now, all of this gives us a very, very good background as to what took place in Mitzrayim and the Yetzias Mitzrayim. But what we learn from this is, what is a Jew? You should know, a Jew, Israel, and that's all Jews. All Jews today are the elite of the elite. They're an elitist nation. They're a superior nation. Not because of their wealth doesn't make them superior. And not because of their brains doesn't make them superior. And not because of their official positions. All of that is nonsense, total nonsense. And if any Jew wants to feel superior about that, he's going to be awful surprised in the next world. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not going to bring that even into the picture. The Jew today comes from the best stock in the world. It's the seed of Abraham. Nisi Elohim, the nations came to Abraham and said, you are the prince of the Almighty. They recognized that. And it comes from the most perfected seed of Yitzchak, and of Yaakov, and of the Shivim Nofesh, and of the millions that were in Egypt. The best of the best of the best went out. And why were they the best of the best of the best? They had no official offices. They had no honor. They had no money. Didn't even have any pride. How could they have pride in themselves with Avodas Perach when 20 hours a day they were building storehouses and pyramids for Paroi? says, Bishus Noshima Tzitkonia, it's their wives had to revive them every night. Why were they the best delight of delight of delight? Kodesh Baruch Hu pointed a finger at them and he said, Amzu Koniso, this is my nation. Because they were loyal. One reason, they were loyal. Emuna, people translate as to believe. That's not the right translation. Emuna does not mean to believe. Emuna comes from the word Naamon. Moses says, Nosa v'nosato be'emuna. Did you do business be'emuna? Emuna means faithfulness. So the Maral says that's what the word omein comes from, emuna. And omein means la'asher, to strength. When a person says an imamin, it doesn't mean he believes. It means he is faithful to it. Many people can believe, so they believe, so what? That's why when a person says omein, he underwrites it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ki b'cho ya'aminu le'olam, they will be faithful to you, Moshe, and they will be faithful to me forever. The elitis of the Israel, of the Jew, was none of these other things. These other things are all nonsense. And any Jew that wants to take arrogance from that is on the wrong track. They have one elite quality, and that was their faithfulness and steadfastness to the God of their fathers under all circumstances. Those were the ones, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you are the ones that will come to Har Sinai, and you are the ones that will be Israel forever. This is what we learn from the Golos Mitzrayim and the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe. Moshe says, what should I tell them? He says, tell them that when I take them out of Egypt, Tavdun Anechi Alahor Azeh, I will bring them to this mountain. And there I will give them my Torah and mitzvahs. We should all be zeicher to have Echa Kosher V'Sameach and Geula L'Kol Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.